Welcome to Revive Illinois, a podcast about seeking a new season of life in the church all across the land of Lincoln. This ministry is provided by the Illinois Baptist State Association.
Guys, it's great to have you with us. Scott Foshee here with IBSA, and we're your partner in health, growth, and mission. We're continuing to walk with you and pray for you as you serve the Lord. Thank you for your faithful service. And in this episode of Revive Illinois, we're going to listen in with Ken Braddy talking to us about how to jumpstart small groups. Ken is the National Sunday School Director for Lifeway, and he's also Sunday School Director at his own church. So I think you'll get a lot of practical insight wherever you are in that journey of getting your group started again. I think you'll appreciate this. And so, listen to the podcast. I hope you enjoy it today. Give us some feedback. Let us know how we're doing. And also, if we can walk with you about getting your group's ministry going again, we're here to help you. And also, would love to do a free church health assessment with you. No charge at all. It is from Refocus. You, pastor, you can take this assessment. We can talk about the health of your church and just explore options for partnership together as we move toward the end of 2020 and into 2021. We love you. And let's enjoy this webinar now, the audio of it with Ken Braddy talking about how to jumpstart our small groups. Hello, friends, and whether you're watching us live or viewing the recording, we're blessed to have you with us for our Church Helps webinar for the month of August. I'm Scott Foshee on your IBSA team, and we're trying to find topics that are helpful for you as you work with your people, regather, and minister, and reach the potential that God has for you. And I just want to remind you that we would love to have your interaction with us. If you're watching this live, you're going to have the opportunity to ask questions to Ben Jones. He's going to be monitoring the question center. Also, if you're watching the recording, you can send me email, scottfoshee@ibsa.org. And as a matter of fact, you can reach any member of our IBSA team by going to firstnamelastname@ibsa.org. And we don't just want to give you information. We want to walk beside you, serve you, and help you. As you are ministering, we're here to serve you. And as I mentioned, Ben is going to be watching online. He's going to be watching the questions. And over on the right-hand side of your screen, if you're with us online, good morning, Ben. And you send a question in. Ben is the only one that's going to see that. So you can ask those questions confidentially. And again, if you would rather send us an email we're getting to where many more people even watch the recording than watch live. We love having the live viewers. But if you're watching the recording and you've got a question, don't hesitate, right, Ben? Let us know.
Yeah, we definitely want to hear from you. Look forward to answering your questions, whether that's right now live or whether you're watching after the fact and send those in by email. We are glad to answer any questions you may have.
That's right. And we will be having some additional virtual opportunities for you. There's a worship conference coming up, I think. Tell us a little bit about the worship conference, Ben.
Yeah, we do. So 1 week from today, we have an online virtual worship conference. And so we're getting a good registration for that. This is one of those opportunities where we shifted and said we can't do regional in-person worship training. So we're going to take it fully online. We're going to have some worship, some speaking to the heart of the worship leader, and then we'll have two different opportunities for 1 hour breakout sessions. We've got 8 great sessions planned, whether you are a worship leader, whether you're an instrumentalist in your church, maybe you work with the video or the sound. So we'll have some sessions that will deal with all of those things, practical training, and kind of with an eye toward as well. What does that look like, during this time where you're having to think both in person and virtual oftentimes of how you're a practitioner for those? And so just a great opportunity to stretch your mind, build your skills. It's 100% free because you give through the cooperative program and give to Mission Illinois. And so we're able to serve you in that way. So we would love to see you register. If you have questions about that, you can ask me at benjones@ibsa.org.
There we go. And it's going to be great. We've got that worship conference coming, virtual training night in October statewide, lots of opportunities. And then the webinar library, just go to ibsa.org. We'll be keeping that updated and we'll be sending you emails out about it as well. So Ben, thank you for all you're doing and thank you for monitoring the questions today. And I'm going to invite our expert to come on with us now and our friend, a partner. And Ken, you are a repeat guest. You are one of our number one trusted resources and we're thankful for you for all the ways that you have served the church during this time. We're going to be talking about some ideas and we're going to turn off the computer screen and just have a great conversation as we talk about how to jumpstart small groups this fall. Thanks for being with us, Ken.
You're so welcome, Scott. And I am waiting for the t-shirt that says, you know, hey, I came and did a webinar and all I got was this t-shirt. So I'm waiting for
that one. We definitely need to give you one of those because this is like number five or number six. So we're really, really thankful to have you with us.
I am thankful for the invitation. And hello, Illinois Baptists. It's good to be with you again. And like Scott said, this is what, five or six times. And I love being able to do this. And as I, you know, try to lead here in Tennessee, not just at Lifeway, but I'm also on church staff at a smallish church here in the Nashville area, not too far from my home. It gives me opportunity to, you know, make sure that I'm keeping myself current and fresh and leading an education ministry at a church. And so, you know, we have been through, just like everybody, you know, that's joining this webinar, we have been through the season of COVID, from you can't meet to you have to do giving online to you have to shift your groups to online to, well, maybe we could start to meet again. And, you know, you go through all those gymnastics. And our church just reopened about 3 weeks ago, Scott. And one of the nice takeaways is that the attendance levels have absolutely been astounding than what I was thinking that they were going to be. So that's good news for Fairhaven Baptist Church here where I serve. So hopefully we're going to see that as churches reopen and people are hungry to, you know, come back and get back into the swing and be engaged with people again.
That's right. That's right. And I know, Ken, as we think about Illinois, it's probably has a lot of similarities to Tennessee. There's a wide variety of where churches are. Some have reopened physically. Some are still all virtual. Some are doing worship and in person, but they haven't started their small groups. And I know you've got some great ideas to talk about. How do we start phasing things in? How do we approach that topic? How do we start engaging the people that are ready to engage in person while not leaving behind the ones that want a connection but aren't quite ready for in-person yet?
And that's, I think, really where 99% of our churches are. Very few have, you know, just fully reopened. There are some now. The percentages are growing weekly as they can. And so this is a great thing that we're going to be able to talk about, because I think this is extremely timely. And so let's just jump in. How about that? So I've got a few thoughts about reaching some folks and getting our people back together again. Now, the caveat is that I'm not suggesting that, you know, because Ken says everybody goes and, you know, throws the doors open and, you know, does the, hey, y'all come type of a thing. I'd say let's do something like that, obviously, but let's do it safely. And I know that sometimes between states, you know, like my governor and my local authorities may ask something different of us that, you know, your governor and your local authorities may not. So I just say, make sure that you're in compliance, you know, with your state leaders, and then make some decisions based on that. But if we want to start thinking about, you know, re-engaging people and bringing them back to the campus where they can meet again, I've got just a few thoughts on that, Scott. So let's just jump in and I'll give you these five. The first one is that we can meet in our churches again for Sunday school on campus and meeting in a classroom. Now, I will say that there are two things I want to mention about that. One, do it with physical distancing. And I want to explain what happened at our church, because this was a surprise to me and I was not ready for it. But we thought we were pretty smart and we were going to work smarter, not harder. And so we decided not to take out chairs from our classrooms. So we decided that what we would do is to take an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, and we would print on one side, please choose another seat. And so it was, you know, just something like this that we put on a chair. So we would, you know, two chairs were open, and then like the next two had these pieces of paper on them. So we thought, you know, hey, this is going to spread our groups out, right? And we don't have to remove chairs from classrooms. It's going to save us a day or two. And we honestly, we don't have enough room to store them anyway. So we thought that was pretty savvy. Well, the very first day that we were back, guess what happened?
People moved the paper?
Oh, we figured out real quick, yeah, that people thought, hey, that's a pretty portable piece of paper. Let me just move that. And so as I was walking through the groups that morning, our first morning back 3 weeks ago, I was shocked and amazed to see people sitting next to each other, you know, no physical distancing. And I went, oh, no, not what we had planned. So I would say it might be worth physically removing chairs, you know, to make sure that there is some distancing, because and again, we were surprised at the number of folks that came back. I would say that 80% or so of our members were back that very first Sunday. And I was predicting much lower. I was thinking 40, 50% maybe. But we were pleasantly surprised. Then I would say that if you can, and you've got a larger room on your campus, meet in that, you know, larger room. So you may have a large fellowship hall, and you can put several groups in there, maybe behind portable screens, or if not, they're just in the corners and they're facing those corners, you know, where a teacher is teaching. But you may have some big rooms that could be absolutely great for physically distancing people. And so that's one way, you know, to get folks back on campus. I don't know, Scott, if you've experienced that, if you've seen churches that are taking those, you know, giant rooms and using them, but they are wonderful assets if you've got them. So I'd be curious, you know, what you have heard and or seen.
Yes, we have had some doing that. And then one approach I've heard one church do is that they actually, they had a kind of I guess you would call the traditional Sunday school model, where all their groups met on Sunday morning. And what they've done is they've taken their groups and they're now meeting at all different times of the week. And the groups are sharing, they're using that fellowship hall. And sometimes there's two groups meeting at one time on each end of the fellowship hall. And then they're cleaning them in between the times that the groups meet very well. And that's a way for them to spread out and use that bigger space.
So that's my, and by the way, Scott does not have my notes, but you just,
that's right.
Use the next point. And that's exactly right. That not only could we return to the campus on a Sunday to our smaller classroom, you know, with some physical distancing, and not only can you come back on a Sunday and, you know, take advantage of those bigger spaces. I mean, classes could even meet in a worship center, depending on the church's schedule. If it happened to be open, then you could do that, you know, depending on the Sunday morning schedule. But my number three point was that you could use a room on the campus on a different day of the week. And I think that is something that churches are discovering. And you would have to say, I kind of grin a little bit, because we could have been doing this all along, but, you know, we gather on Sunday and we do call it, in most of our churches, we call it Sunday school. And so do not hear me say anything negative about Sunday school and what I'm fixing to say. Right. But at the churches where I have served, I felt like the people thought of Sunday school as something that we do from, like, you know, 9 to 10:15. You know, or 10:30 to 11:45, and then we're done, because it's on Sunday and we do worship and we check our box and off we go, and we'll see you next week maybe. So at the last several churches where I've served, I have been slow but intentional about moving us to rename it. Now, 20 years ago, I was doing this before it got cool, right? But I changed the name in two churches to Life Groups. And I did that, and we had an acrostic, L-I-F-E, and it stood for the four things that I wanted every group to do, to hit the mark in Sunday school, so to speak. But I changed the name primarily because I did not want people thinking that Sunday school, Scott, was just about Sunday only, and we don't even think about it until, you know, next Sunday morning. I wanted people to realize that Sunday school, honestly, the best Sunday school happens between Sundays. You know, right. When you're praying for people, you're preparing, you're reading ahead for next Sunday, you're coming together maybe on Saturday afternoon or night for a fellowship, your maybe Saturday morning is given to a ministry project somewhere in your community, and then you come back on Sunday and you celebrate and you see each other and you study, and then you go out and you do life all over again, but Sunday school permeates. So that was the reason, you know, that I changed the name to Life Groups. I felt like Sunday, you know, in some people's heads, it just limited it to the one day a week. And I think what we're seeing in COVID is that we're discovering something that we probably should have known all along and should have done. And that is, you can meet anytime. You know, if a group can meet Tuesday mornings, like a senior adult group, or if it's a young adult group that wants to meet online at 8 o'clock p.m., more power to them. You know, put the kids down, have my Bible study group. It does not have to happen at, you know, the 9 to noon Sunday, normal Sunday time. So I'm excited that churches are figuring this out. And, you know, we've spent a lot of money in our churches to build facilities, to build spaces for groups to meet. And in most of our churches, you know, that's on Wednesday night and Sunday morning. But now churches are using their property, you know, throughout the week. Well, what a great stewardship of some very nice and probably pretty expensive space that we built. And so now groups are not limited to just Sunday morning. In fact, some groups are finding that if they meet at an off time during the week, that kind of frees those adults up to serve in the preschool, the kid, or the student ministry on a Sunday morning. And it's really actually pretty good for the whole church. So I think meeting on another day besides Sunday, Scott, is it's a wonderful trend. I hope it continues even after, you know, we're able to come back to the campus.
And I think you're right. I think we will see that increase. Thanks, Ken. What other ideas do we have to share and to help the churches? These are all great points for us to think about.
So number four on my list, Scott, is that, you know, if your church is not quite ready to come back or the groups are not quite ready to come back, don't forget about those off-campus places like homes or backyards. You know, now I know that the weather has a lot to do with this, but I've got several groups at my church that are older groups, as in the members are older, and they just do not feel comfortable coming back right now. Some are going to wait for a vaccine. Others are going to wait and see what happens. You know, let's go through August, September, and they're going to be watching and listening for, you know, have we had a breakout at the church? And if they feel like it's safe, then they may start to come back. But for right now, I've got several groups that are meeting off campus in a home, in a living room. Tammy and I visited a group just this last Sunday, and 10 of us met in a backyard. And there was a table with, you know, juice and donuts and some bottles of water. It was cool. You know, the breeze was blowing, but not too badly. Miko, the neighborhood dog, wandered over and grabbed a donut. It was awesome. But we were out literally, you know, in God's creation under a tree. And for about an hour or so, a Bible study leader named John Hall led us through Explore the Bible's lesson for last Sunday out of Proverbs 31. And we had a great experience. And we were able to physically distance in lawn chairs. And it was a great experience. So some of those groups, Scott, that may feel a little hesitant to come back into a classroom and in that enclosed setting, they might consider something like that. That can happen on a driveway, at a park, at a pavilion. It can happen in the backyard. I don't think we need to forget about, you know, using our homes. It's really what the first century church did, right? I mean, they would meet at the temple courts. They heard some, you know, large megaphone type preaching. But then they would go, and Acts 2:42 and following, you know, lets us know that, you know, they went from house to house, they ate in fellowship together, and the church, you know, lived in small homes with smaller groups of people. And I think we don't need to forget that that's another option for us during COVID-19 for people to regather. Because I am concerned, Scott, about groups that maybe have not been meeting together since last March or April, when all of us had to kind of go home and, you know, quit coming to the church. And so there are some groups out there that for 5 or 6 months, they've not met. And that includes a lot of senior adults. I think some of the seniors at my church were beginning to feel very, very disconnected from Fairhaven because they had not been physically with their friends for such a long time. But these other options, meeting during the week or meeting at a home, backyard or whatever, it started to give them some relief from that. And I think we'll tide them over until they come back on campus. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. People need to realize that God has provided the space, like you said, whether it's the church building or their own home. And think about how that reaches out to neighbors, just for them to see people gathering around God's word. And like you said, having the neighborhood dog come steal a donut. I mean, that's a great gospel opportunity when you have neighbors coming by and seeing what God's doing and the loving, welcoming atmosphere of the group.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if groups were really outwardly focused, and I'm not sure what the group has done that we met with on Sunday, but I mean, how good would that be to go up and down the block and to say, look, I'm going to be hosting a Sunday school group at my house at 8:30 on Sundays. You guys don't have a place to go. Why don't you just walk down here? We've got some food and donuts, and we've got Miko the dog, you know, and come study with us and come hang out and just get to know us, because we're just, you know, three houses down, two houses down or whatever. It's a great moment to reach out to your neighbors. I don't know of anything better that we could be doing right now, you know, to get folks to regather before maybe even they get to regather at our church.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Ken, what would you say to the pastor that's trying to help get the people of the church to capture the vision of that, that they can think outside of the box from 9 to 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. What would you say to that pastor that really wants his people to catch that vision that he's got?
I would say a couple of things. I would say probably continue, because I know most pastors are so good about this, but continue to keep people's eyes focused on the lost in their communities. I think that if we're not super careful, Sunday school sometimes will turn in on itself. And we think of it as a disciple-making time on our church calendar. And it is to a degree, but every Sunday school group, in my opinion, ought to have, you know, pre-Christians, unbelievers, or brand new Christians that we've, you know, presented the gospel to. They become a disciple. And I think that we've got to be very intentional about making sure that our people understand the mission is not just deeper discipleship, but the mission is to reach new people and bring them into our groups, bring them under our influence, maybe in a mentoring relationship, and to be able to focus on the lost people. David Francis, who was our former Sunday school director, made this comment in one of his books. And he said this, Scott, he said, you don't have to cross an ocean to find unreached people. And he was talking about being very missionary. You don't have to think of being a missionary, you know, I've got to go overseas. My wife is, she's got the missions bug and she loves going. She's been to Asia, been to Africa a couple times, Mexico several times. And she loves that. But we can't as a family forget that right outside my front door, I can see probably 6 to 12 homes on, you know, around our house, each side of the street. And honestly, on Sunday mornings, I don't know that many of those folks go to church anywhere. Mm. And so this is a great opportunity, you know, for folks to start something in their home and to reach those lost folks. So I think the pastor can help vision cast. I think we also have to hold up people that are doing it. And if a church has a group that's off campus, I have recommended to our interim pastor, because we're in an interim pastor state looking for a pastor right now, that we need to take some photos that I took on Sunday morning, and we need to show that to the entire church this coming Sunday, and to ask the church to pray for John Hall's group, who has not been able to meet with us since March, but that did not stop him and his group from meeting. And we need to pray for them and applaud that kind of bulldog tenacity that says, I'm not going to let COVID wreck my group. I'm not going to let COVID keep us from meeting. We're going to figure out a way to do it safely and in a way that makes sense for our group. And so I think the church needs to be aware that those groups, because as we start to regather, like at our church, I still have several groups that are off campus, but we could forget about them and leave them in the dust when we're all excited, you know, about us coming back together. Well, not all of us. We've still got several groups of brothers and sisters that are not back yet. We don't need to forget about them. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. To remember them and also to celebrate, like you said, thinking outside the box in order to reach people. Now, yeah. Ken, what about the kind of viewer that may be watching this and thinking, well, I've not started my groups yet. I've not started them back yet, but I'm thinking about it. Why would you say it's important? Why is it? And of course, we would say crucial. Why is it important to get the group's ministry back in some way at this time?
Well, for every pastor out there, this may be my last invitation, Scott, so I'm going to say something that I hope does not blow me up. But I'm going to quote Robbie Gallaty in his book called Growing Up. It's a book on discipleship. He makes a comment in the book that, and he uses an illustration about discipleship. He's super big as a pastor on discipling people. And he makes a statement. He said, saying that I'm going to preach and disciple the people is like going to a church nursery and taking a bottle of milk and just, you know, spraying all the babies and then saying, hey, I just fed the kids. And his point, yeah, it's a funny visual. You know,
it's a good illustration.
It is. And what he was trying to get the reader to understand was that discipleship, it's more than just listening to preaching. Now, every pastor that is out there, please understand, I'm a fellow pastor. I get it. And I applaud, you know, what our pastors do. And even our before the program started, we were talking about, you know, how pastors are so under the gun today during COVID. And it's such a pressure packed time for them. But to say that everything that we need to do discipling wise that, you know, happens in the big room, I don't think is the right approach. Is it important? Absolutely. It's so crucial that our churches have wonderful biblical, you know, messages to help us unpack the scripture. And I'm thankful for our pastors that do that week after week. But we have to go beyond that, because discipleship, in my viewpoint, it happens in smaller groups. If Jesus, you know, he had a pretty great crowd that showed up for the Sermon on the Mount, right? I mean, several thousand. And he could have looked out there and said, guys, the next town that we go to, I want you guys to go find, we're going to get some food, and I want you to go, you know, rent a hillside or an amphitheater, tell everybody we're going to do a fish fry on Friday night, I'm going to preach, and we're going to do that all over again. You didn't see that. I mean, his days were spent serving and discipling and teaching a group of 12 guys and a smaller, you know, inner group of three. And so I think what I see in the scripture is that that preaching is absolutely a part of our ministry, but we want to take people and get them into smaller groups so that we can know them, we can know what they need to go, you know, to the next level. And that's where teachers are so important, and this is where groups become so important, because they're an extension of the pastor's discipling ministry. And so I think to have groups back on campus or groups meeting places us in that position, you know, where we can do better discipleship. Does that make sense? And so I think that's one of the reasons. It's not the only reason, but I think another one, Scott, is that that churches that have a really strong groups ministry, Sunday school, whatever you want to call it, they have weathered the COVID storm better than churches that did not have as good a Bible teaching ministry. So in some ways, COVID is going to give many of our churches a chance to kind of, you know, almost like hit a reset button and to say, okay, we're going to come back from COVID, but do some things differently. And we're going to strengthen our teaching ministry. That means maybe more training. It may mean starting new groups. It may mean, you know, better at assimilating people into those groups, because people tend not to assimilate themselves. They wait on the church to do that. And so I think that that gives us an opportunity to get people in smaller groups, because those groups really, Scott, in times of crisis like this, or when a pastor leaves the ministry, you know, leaves that ministry, teaching ministry, for another one, and you've got that interim time like my church is in right now, Fairhaven could very easily have had wheels come off. But it's got a pretty strong Sunday school ministry where people love each other. We're looking for those guests to connect to our groups, and we're going to be just fine. We're, you know, we're going to wait patiently for the next pastor to come, but our group's ministry is going to keep the church strong and together, maybe for the next year and a half or so as we look for a pastor. So I think that's another important reason, you know, for that. And then number three on my list is that groups just do great things for the church. We found through the Transformational Church Research Project that people that are in Bible study groups regularly, Scott, they give more financially to the church. They serve more times than somebody that's not connected to their group. They pray more. And it's just, it does wonderful things in the life of a disciple. So it's great for kids. It's great for students. It's really great for adults. And so I say, for all those reasons and many more, this is super important that our churches, you know, make sure that we're meeting and grouping together.
So what I'm hearing you say, Ken, and I'm in full 180% agreement with you, is the time to start groups back, if you haven't yet, was yesterday. Get it going, and even if it starts virtual, but there needs to be some type of group ministry going on in your church. And then the next thing I will say from IBSA's point, let us help you. We are here. And then Ken saying it too from Lifeway, let Lifeway help you. And what IBSA and Lifeway are doing, we're desperate partners, because God led Southern Baptist, Illinois Baptist to create IBSA, to create Lifeway, to serve the church. And we're here to serve you, but we can't serve you if you don't ask. And we need you to reach out and let us know how we can resource you to make this happen and help you think outside the box. Even if that means, and our part, we'll talk to your leadership team and help you together envision how this can work.
Absolutely. That's great. That's great.
Hey, Ben, I see Ben coming on, and he's been talking to the audience. We're thankful for your questions, Ben. What are you hearing?
So some good questions, some thinking about restarting. A couple of good questions about restarting. And so one is coming from John Draper up in Winthrop Harbor, and he says that they are on the last night of an outdoor VBS where they've been having outdoor services. They're looking to start back a small group ministry and kind of ask about a strategy to maybe shift from that outdoor gathering and the energy that's involved in that. How do they think about that from a leveraging point and strategically plan to move into small groups? And so any insight on helping them restart small groups there?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, by the way. And things like VBS and those kind of special events always give us opportunities to reach new people that are not connected. And also, I think with our members that maybe have come back for one of those events, it will help them get over maybe the hurdle of having been sequestered and now seeing again the benefit of, you know, being together, especially as they watch their, you know, their kids and or their students come back. And so every time you do something like that, there's got to be a prospect list. That's one of the reasons that we do events like that, whether they're out or indoor. And so I would start there. I would start with those people that are not connected, their guests in the community that have come to that event, and I would reach out to them. I would figure out how many groups are we talking about starting, and are we talking about all age groups? Are we talking, you know, kids groups first and phasing in other groups? The church would have to decide that, you know, as part of their strategy. I know some churches that have started with preschool and then introduced kids groups and then student and adult groups almost simultaneously. They've had almost like a 4 to 6 week phase-in plan. Our church, we literally just said that we're doing it all at the same time. So we threw the doors open. Everybody had opportunity to come back, you know, as physically distanced and as safe as we could make it. And so it's running the gamut, you know, how folks are choosing to come back. So from phasing in to throwing the doors open, you know, at one time, that's happening, you know, just about everywhere that I'm seeing.
Yeah. And, you know, following up on that, I would think, too, the timing is important. I find that oftentimes, you know, he's talking about that energy and, hey, this is a great thing that's going on. Don't wait too long. So whatever your strategy is, don't wait too long to implement that. You've got that prospect list, John, and so you worked with your team to develop that. You don't lose that momentum, don't lose that energy that's there from people being gathered and doing something, because I think that oftentimes we wait too long to plan and to send out invitations and to get something going, but to follow up pretty quickly on the heels of this, as quick as you guys feel like you're able to.
Yeah, absolutely. And for John, something that I'm reminded of, Ken, we talked about this in a past webinar, the danger of the one-size-fits-all strategy, right. And you've got to find a way as you work through this to make the people in the different spectrum, you know, they're in the there's a wide range of feelings about it, find ways that they can feel connected, and you know, having the virtual options, even in an in-person group, you can have an iPad or a computer there to connect to those virtual viewers as you're starting to move into groups.
I'm wondering, Phyllis, if we're not seeing a shift right in front of our eyes in the church that's maybe going to be a permanent shift. Only time will tell. So in a few years, maybe 3 to 5 years, we'll all look backwards and say either it did or it didn't happen. But I'm just wondering, because like my church, probably like many churches that are listening in today, we were pretty campus focused. I mean, it was all about Sunday morning, 9 to noon. And of course, you know, we did some things in the community and, you know, we support missions and those kind of things. But now our strategy has had to shift. And so we've got virtual groups that are still going on. I've got off-campus groups and I've got on-campus groups. And so I'm wondering now, do we see a really hybrid approach to reaching people? And I wonder if that's going to be the new normal, that we'll have, you know, a virtual pastor, that person will oversee the online worship and online groups, and then, you know, we'll restart groups back on our church campus, and then others will find the joy in being in a neighborhood like my John Hall group, and they may choose to say, you know what, we're going to stay right here in our circle, this cul-de-sac, and we're going to try to reach these people here in our neighborhood, and we'll either drive down to the church for worship, or we'll join you online on Facebook Live for virtual worship. But I think the mission now is going to shift into these other avenues that we probably were not thinking of pre-COVID. And for that, I'm thankful. Honestly, guys, it's one of the wonderful silver linings of COVID that it is caused and challenged the church to think, you know, outside the box about how to reach people. We used to say, I think, hey, come to the campus. You know, just, you know, here we are. Y'all come to the campus. You know where we are. I think now the shift may be, we're going to come to where you are, whatever that may look like. So it may be, you know, then there's more outdoor events. It may be those neighborhood Bible study groups. It may be, you know, off time, off day type groups, off Sunday. But I think that the church may become a little more, you know, 24/7-ish in the way that she reaches people. And it doesn't all have to happen on Sunday.
That's right.
That's great. Hey, boy, lots of good questions. Had several come in as well. So here's a question from our brother Pat Pajak over at Decatur. And Pat always has good questions. He's saying a back to Sunday school promo. Do you feel like kind of that big blast is, you know, back to Sunday school Sunday? Is that a good strategy right now? Or do you feel like maybe, you know, because I mean, that's been a strategy we've used a lot, you know, that annual back to Sunday school type Sunday. Do you feel like that's a great strategy now? Or maybe is there a better way to approach getting people back into an on-campus gathering?
I would, that's a good question. And I'm kind of split on how I want to answer that. I would say that a big, hey, we're reopening, that becomes a celebration. It becomes a, you know, COVID didn't kill us. You know, it didn't hurt our church. We're coming back and we're winning again is almost how it feels, you know, that we don't have to be apart from our brothers and sisters. So I think that's a huge win. And maybe a nice stake in the ground. Even a, you know, a pastor could say, you know, starting that Sunday, I'm going to preach a series on X. And he could tie a worship series into the restarting of the group's ministry that could kind of lead off now into the fall. That could be a great thing. But the caveat is, if you feel like your church is prepared to handle the crowd. So if you can do this with physical distancing, if you can do it with maybe a team of people that are committed now to help clean and wipe down, you know, worship centers and tables and things like this, bathrooms in between services, I would say that I would probably be inclined to give that a try again. But if I felt like, you know, my church was not ready to handle a big return to the church, because we were surprised at Fairhaven how many people were just desperate to get back to a regular church experience. If we had not prepared for a long time with, you know, our physical distancing things that we were doing in worship and the one with the paper in Sunday school that didn't quite go so well, I'd do that differently next time I take out chairs. But we've got a plan for, you know, cleaning our restrooms, for closing the water fountains, those little things. So we feel that if people are going to come back, we are doing everything that we know how to do to make it safe. And I think that would be a good message. Now, on the other side of the coin, Ben, you know, he's asked about, should you do the big, you know, the big day come back, or is there another option? And again, it could be a phase-in approach, kind of a slower approach. The benefit would be that it would give the church an opportunity to make sure that it's doing well. So some churches started with preschool and they've reopened their preschool. And then weeks later, after no outbreaks, they've open classes for children, and then after that, classes for students and adults. And it's given the church time to monitor and to make sure that things were going safely. And so I can see either strategy, you know, being a good strategy. I think it depends on the DNA of the church. Let me tell you about my church. This is no knock on my friends at Fairhaven Baptist here in Shelbyville, Tennessee, but we heard from a number of our members who were just convinced that we were being way too conservative all summer, that what are we afraid of? Let's go, let's reopen, let's get back at it. And then on the other spectrum, we had folks that were saying, thank you guys for going slowly. This is good. You know, you're not rushing us and all this. And so I say all that to say the pastors out there and the church leaders, they're going to know their churches and their people. And so I don't know that one strategy is a one size fits all. It depends on your church's DNA. Maybe you've got that church that's a little more hesitant, and a phased in strategy would be more appropriate for that group. And maybe your church is chomping at the bits and they're just, you know, they're ready to come back. And maybe the one day let's get going again is the right strategy. But whatever it is, I say continue to, you know, follow your state's guidelines, you know, think practically and think carefully, because there's nothing more precious, guys, than God's people. I mean, the Lord sacrificed himself for people. And we do have to give an account as church leaders. And so I would just say, be careful, be safe. But I think that as we can get back together again, it's good for groups. And so it may be phased in. It may be all at one shot. But I do think the idea is let's just don't sit around and not do groups anymore. We've done that for 6 months, many of us have, and it's time to get back.
Time to go. Ben, we have time for one more question.
One more. So we've got Brother Brad Sloan down in Dahlgren in the South. And Brad asks specifically about a strategy that you would recommend for internet teaching for Sunday school classes, maybe longer term, if they're not going to be able to fully reopen and just can't do groups in person, but feel like internet is the best strategy. What do you recommend, Ken, as Lifeway develops something that's a clear strategy for that they could take?
Yeah, I would say that that's going to be one of the new kinds of training that will be ongoing in many of our churches, and that will be the training to teach online. What we have been recommending to groups is that they might consider, you know, a hybrid approach, that groups that go back to the campus might bring an iPad or a computer and do a Zoom broadcast from within the classroom, do a Zoom room type thing. Here's what we're learning about that. If many classes embrace that and they're not hardwired into an Ethernet system of some kind, you may end up crashing your church's Wi-Fi. It's possible, right? And so either that or the signal's real choppy. And so that's going to be one of those concerns. Here's the other one that I think may be as important, and that is we're finding that groups that are trying this, it is extremely difficult to teach a live group and then to also have the camera over here that you're trying to remember, oh yeah, I've got people online virtually. And so for those hybrid groups, they'll have to be, I mean, I think pretty creative. If you're gonna do a hybrid group from church, you're gonna need if you don't have any other position, you're gonna have to have someone that serves as a co-host. Then to do just what you're doing, monitor the chat, to tell folks, hey, did you guys hear what, you know, Ken, the teacher, just said? Did you hear that question? You need somebody in the group that becomes their job if that's going to be successful. Then you've got the groups that just may be, you know, been online, and they're not going to be, they're just going to stay online. And here's what I would say is that group leaders need to understand that teaching in a virtual environment is very different than teaching in a classroom. Attention spans are pretty short. Bible study lessons need to be much shorter. We found 20 or so minutes is just about right in an online Zoom meeting. I know that sounds counterintuitive. You think, well, we need to go for 45 minutes or an hour, but a lot of folks' minds start to wander, dogs walk through, kids need attention, you know, things like this. I even had a time we were doing this, and two little pigs that this family had purchased came squealing through the living room, and it was like game over. You know, the group time was just ruined after that, because everybody was like, oh, let's see the little pigs, you know. Well, it was really game over when they held them up in front of the camera. You know, we're like, oh, I want a pig, you know, that kind of thing. And so the group environments are tough online, but not so tough that a group leader could not learn the skills. But it does take some different skills to lead the group. So you got to learn how to share screen and then stop, ask questions, use breakout rooms to divide people up for prayer and for, you know, answering questions online. It's okay to have something that you physically show an object, you know, for an object lesson. So many of the things you can do in a classroom, you can do online. But what I've seen so far in most Zoom groups is we're just happy to be the talking head. Let me talk to you for 30 or so minutes about our Bible study. And we could be doing so much more. So I would say if a group chooses to stay online, that's great. And I love the idea of being able to reach people anywhere, anytime. But I also think that group leader needs to do some investigating as to, you know, some of the best online Zoom or online group practices. And we've got some of those at Lifeway. Scott, I can share that with you.
Sure.
Best practices for online groups. We've got a short PDF document on that. But I would just say, don't just be the talking head if you're going to stay online. And then you got to figure out a way at some point to get those people together physically, if possible. You know, I know that folks can join from out of state, and I get that. But at some point, it's going to be great for that group to do something ministry related, you know, to do a project, to come together for fellowship, and not just necessarily be, you know, all online for everything. Does that make sense? So I think the teaching is great, but we don't need to forget about the other aspects of group life either. Or we'll have groups that are just doing this. They'll be teaching, but they won't be serving and ministering together. They won't be building relationships like we can in person. I think that's important for group life.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ben, for those questions. And Ken, as we get ready to close, why don't you please share with us what Lifeway is doing right now what are the resources that Lifeway has for the churches that are going to be valuable for them as they resume?
Yeah, so we've got a couple of documents. The online best practices document, I think, is extremely helpful for groups that are going to be getting back together. I would say also come to my blog, because I'm writing almost, not exclusively, but about 90% of my posts right now are on COVID-19. It's about regathering our groups. It's about, you know, restarting discipleship, those kinds of things. That groups may find helpful, pastors may find helpful, and it's free to follow. I do it as a ministry. I don't make any money on the site. I don't have any advertisers, that kind of thing. It's just a ministry to church leaders. And so, Scott, they can get to it at KenBraddy.com. That's it, just KenBraddy.com, free to follow, the little join buttons in the upper right corner of the blog site. So I would recommend that. And then I would also say, Scott, this is my shameless plug. I told you I was going to do, right? And so I would say grab a copy of this guy right here. I wrote that about a year and a half ago. Didn't know COVID was coming. And this has been out now for just over a year. And it's got 12 essentials for revitalizing our church's most important ministry. That's Sunday school, I believe, our group's ministry. And so there are six things in this book, six chapters that are really more addressed to a pastor or staff leader. And then there are six chapters that a group leader needs to focus on, because these are things under his or her direct influence. And at lifeway.com, you can find this book, Breathing Life into Sunday School, for it's like $12.99 for a single copy. Don't do that. Right next to it is a bundle of 10 for $5 each. So they discount it like 60% or so. So it's a really great deal. And you can read it as a teaching faculty or as a staff and get some ideas. So I don't just say, well, my recommendation is to do X, but I will literally give you lists. It's very prescriptive of here are 10 things that you can do to do what I just recommended. And so it's oozing practicality for our groups. Why do I say that? As we come back from COVID-19, guys, we have a very, very, very unique opportunity. Honestly, a once in a lifetime opportunity. Our Sunday schools, for the most part, they've not been meeting for 6 months, and it may go another 7 or 8. It just depends on when churches reopen. But Scott, right now, when we come back, we can literally hit the reset button on Sunday school, and we can start doing things to make her healthier that we weren't doing pre-COVID.
Tremendous opportunity.
Great time. And it's not going to happen again. I mean, this is our once in a lifetime moment. And so at my church, you know, we don't have an extremely well-organized care group ministry in our groups. So shame on me. I should have been pushing. I think we've done better in COVID. Guess what we're going to be doing on the other side of COVID? All of our groups are headed toward a care group ministry. So it's those kind of things. That's the wonderful recess that we can do, you know, in a post-COVID world. And I think that you'd get some decent ideas from Breathing Life into Sunday School. Plenty to do for the next couple of years as we kind of revitalize and revamp our groups post-COVID.
That's right. That's right. And I still too, and I'm going to give a shameless plug for the Lifeway, just the quarterlies and the electronic versions of those, the Explore the Bible, Bible Studies for Life, and the Gospel Project. And one thing I love about those resources, Ken, was when I was encouraging as a pastor, my small group leaders to share the gospel in their groups. The gospel presentation is right there in the cover, just inside the cover.
That's my trustee mandate. That has to be there every time.
Yeah, and I just love that there's such great discipleship resources paired with helping our people know what to say. And I always reminded my folks, you know, if you have your Sunday school quarterly and you get into a gospel conversation with somebody, just open up that cover. And I said, hey, guys, we'll get you a new book. Tear the cover off and give it to him after you share with him. Awesome. Or give him the whole book. You know, so the Lifeway materials are such a wonderful balance of discipleship and evangelism. And Lifeway's here to serve you. And there's still, you can go, can you still go to lifeway.com/coronavirus, Ken, to get all those wonderful free resources?
There's a page or two full of free downloads and links to things that we think would be very helpful. Yes, still up and running, still live. Very much so. Go there and take a look. Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Ken, thank you. This has been a great time. You've encouraged me. And I know all of us are excited about seeing new health, new life. And I really believe this could be the greatest revitalization opportunity of our lifetimes right now. that we're living in. And it's easy for us to get caught up in the frustration, but what a wonderful opportunity. And Ken wants you to know LifeWay's there to serve you today and in the days to come. We're here on your IBSA team to serve you in the days to come. And you can see our email address is there on the screen. And Ken, what I'll be doing later is sending out a follow-up email to everyone registered for this series, about 350 leaders across our state at least. That's just the first wave. And we'll send all the resources you've shared in this broadcast with others. And Ken is here to serve you. His blog is great. You, Ken, you are very popular in Illinois Baptist media. We share a lot of your articles out. Thank you for your insight and your wisdom.
You're welcome. Thanks for sharing or resharing those things. I mean, we're all in this thing together. Nobody's got it figured out. Nobody's the expert. But I think if we, as Proverbs tells us to do, you know, with many advisors, plans succeed. For lack of counsel, they fail. And that just reminds me that none of us is as smart as all of us, right?
That's right. And if Arthur Flake were still here on earth today, he's worshiping Jesus, but he would be excited about this opportunity to use groups to introduce people to King Jesus. And we're privileged. Ken, would you mind just praying for our pastors and our churches as we close the broadcast today?
I would be more than privileged. Thank you, Scott. Father, we do come to you right now in the strong and the powerful name of Jesus. And we thank you first, God, that while we were unlovable and we were rebellious and we were sinners, Jesus died for us. And Father, may we never forget to tell that old, old story that is so needed right now in our world. Lord, I do lift up our pastors. Father, I know firsthand, Lord, from talking to so many across this country, how tired they are right now and how they don't feel adequate to lead during a pandemic. But Father, you have placed them in their churches for this moment. And so I pray that you are the encourager and the lifter of their head, that you put people around them that do encourage them daily, that affirm their work, that will commit to pray for them. And I pray for our churches, Lord, the people, the members, that they hunger for their groups and for their fellow church members. Again, I pray that you do an amazing thing as we come back from COVID, that while we have been so separated and sequestered, it has birthed in us a new appreciation for our Bible study teachers and the groups, our fellow group members, and that we rally and that we come back and support them in what they do, that we become more appreciative for their leadership and the way that they shepherd and disciple us week in and week out. And we ask all those things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ken. And thank you, everyone who's watching. We're here for you. We love you. And we'll be back again soon. Ken, I hope you'll come back and join us again. It won't be long, probably.
Anytime.
Thank you. All right. Everyone, have a great day. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. To learn more, please email Scott Foshee at IBSA.org. This ministry is provided by the Illinois Baptist State Association through your faithful cooperative program giving. May God richly bless you.